And that's one of the, when I first learned about this story, that was one of the surprising things to me, is that, you know, not only had this horrible thing happened, but that at the time I learned about the case, he was living in retirement in New Jersey, and no one had been held accountable. And that's one of the, that's one of the reasons I got interested in looking at this story, is to just try to figure out how this happened.
And Bianca, how did he end up getting tried then criminally this year and charged with 20 years? Also, let's not forget that Columbia University settled with over 200 patients, right, for something like $250 million.
Yes, that's right. Excuse me. So what happened was, after he took the plea deal, some of the survivors started to speak out publicly. First was Marissa Hochstetter, who you had on the show in July, and then notably Evelyn Yang, who was able to use her platform while her husband was running for president. So they started to speak out publicly. It was revealed that another woman named Diane Monson, who is in Utah, she saw Evelyn Yang's CNN interview, and Diane had actually reported Haddon to Columbia in 1994. She had written a letter to the then acting chair of the OBGYN department, as well as the risk management department. And the acting chair actually responded to her and said, "We hear you, we'll look into your concerns," but he never actually got back to her. And so more and more of the former patients started to come out publicly. As the numbers grew, the DOJ started looking into the case, and so they actually indicted him in 2020.
And I'd like to bring Lori Kanyok back into the conversation. Lori, your response to how long it took for some measure of justice against this predator and the role of the legal system in it.
I was, you know, through the course of the last 11 years, was in hiding for a while. They had me sign a release. You know, Laura Beal mentioned my civil suit that I filed back in, what was it, 2013, perhaps, that sparked the felony and the plea deal. And at that juncture, I just thought, this is not a win, you know, and that just, and they hushed me. And they gave me a little bit of money and made me sign my rights away and, you know, said that I could never talk about this again to my family, my friends, nobody. And so I did that. And I focused my attention on my daughter and raising her. But then when I saw Evelyn's CNN interview and I learned about Diane Monson's letter, I decided that it was time to come back out of hiding and stand with my fellow survivors. Because I knew in my heart that that plea deal was unfair. And, you know, nothing about that felt right. He lost his medical license.
We have less than 30 seconds. He is now being in prison for 20 years. But you feel
enough.
Columbia has been held unaccountable. What are you demanding?
I want to see somebody, I want to see Columbia set forward the people that were responsible for concealing this crime for decades. In all the other instances, USC, Michigan, there were people that were brought forward and charged, and they are complicit. These people are complicit with his crime.
Well, we have to leave it there, but I thank you so much for being with us and highly recommend this ProPublica New York Magazine expose. Lori Kanyok is a survivor of Dr. Robert Haddon. Laura Beal and Bianca Fortis co-wrote the investigation, How Columbia Ignored Women, Undermined Prosecutors, and Protected a Predator for More Than 20 Years. Laura Beal also hosts the new podcast, Exposed Cover-Up, at Columbia University. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
reach the island.
So, if you're outside of our coverage area, remember, you can listen to WRCT online. Live streaming available at www.wrct.org. WRCT Pittsburgh. You have no excuse not to listen.
Every year, over 1 million fires burn in America. Fortunately, firefighters are on the job, saving life and property. And you can be a part of it. 7 out of 10 firefighters and emergency responders are volunteers. There's no typical firefighter. Anyone can volunteer to serve their community. Volunteering as a first responder is really about having the heart and drive to make a difference where it's needed most. Your community needs you. Are you ready to answer the call? Learn more and find local volunteer opportunities at makemeafirefighter.org.
Jesus died for somebody's sins, but not mine. Milton, pot of thieves, wild cord on my sleeve. Thick, heart of stone, my sins my own, they belong to me, me. People say beware, but I don't care. The words are just rules and regulations to me, me. We'll be right back.
Yeah. just come back from Minneapolis, where I just beat Vern Gagne and Dick the Bruiser down there. They ain't know it. You could bring on Haystack Balloon, Eric Bloom. I don't care who you bring here, Dada. Rainbow, Strongbow, they're all going under the thunder of Manitoba.
Got a son called Rock and Roll. Raw power. deserts of Sudan and the gardens of Japan, from Milan to Yucatan, every woman's every man. Hit me with your rhythm stick, hit me, hit me, je t'adore, ich liebe dich. Hit me, hit me, hit me, hit me with your rhythm stick, hit me slowly, hit me quick, hit me.
Thank you. I'll meet ya.
I don't know what I know, but I just like
They're shooting in at 5 a.m. And I'm crawling the walls. Just waiting for imaginary telephone calls. And I'm so agitated, so agitated. You know what I think? I think the whole world stinks, and I don't need no shrink. I just hate it. We'll be right back.
My friend Teddy almost set his house on fire. He used a counterfeit, you know, a fake wall charger. He had to go to the hospital.
My BFF Chloe was riding her bike and hit a ditch. Her helmet broke in two. Now, she has a brain injury.
There is a cost to buying cheap. Do you want to pay the price?
Real products are tested for safety.
Go for real.
Visit ncpc.org/goforreal. Brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council and the United States Patent and Trademark Office.
Hello, I'm Dr. Ruth Westheimer. And if you listen to WRCT Pittsburgh, you know that in most cases, size does not matter.
Hey there, folks. Glad you could join me for all the best, the smoothest of the smooth, the cool and gentle sounds of what we call jazz.
Tired of the fluffy stuff? At WRCT Pittsburgh, jazz is a one-syllable word.
Before we get started, I'd like to remind you that the views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this show are solely those of individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of WRCT Pittsburgh and its members.
Welcome to Counterspin, your weekly look behind the headlines. I'm Janine Jackson. This week on Counterspin, it's back to school week here in the U.S. Schools, pre-K to college, have been on media's front burner for at least a year now. But education has always been a contested field in this country. Who has access? What does it teach? What is its purpose? Do my kids have to go to school with those kids? So while what's happening right now is new, it has roots. And it does no disservice to the battles of the current day to connect them to previous battles and conversations. And that's what we're going to do today on the show. We will hear from three of the many education experts it's been our pleasure to speak with, Alfie Cohn, Diane Ravitch, and Kevin Kumashiro. You're listening to Counterspin, brought to you each week by the Media Watch Group FAIR. Today's media debates about education always include politicians politicking, often include right-wing parents who watched a video and now say their kids are being indoctrinated because queer people exist. And they sometimes include teachers who say they are underpaid and beleaguered. You know what they rarely include? Kids. The ones going to school and dealing with the daily fallout of arguments had about them but without them. What children are mainly is fodder, proof of this or that argument. They're stupid, they're entitled, they're frankly whatever a pundit needs them to be. No one wants reporters to shove a microphone in a 10-year-old's face, but if you're doing a story about children, shouldn't you be at least a little bit interested in children? Counterspin has talked many times with one of the researchers genuinely interested in kids and the way they are treated and portrayed, Alfie Cohn. He is author of many books, including The Myth of the Spoiled Child, Challenging the Conventional Wisdom About Children and Parenting. Counterspin's Peter Hart spoke with Alfie Cohn in April of 2014. Let's start with Peter's introduction for some context.
Kids these days, they think they've got it all figured out. Their self-esteem, for no good reason, is through the roof, and they get trophies just for showing up. You hear this stuff almost everywhere, from casual conversations to the newspaper op-ed pages. A new book argues that this conventional wisdom about kids and parenting isn't just misguided or inaccurate. It forms a worldview that is not only deeply conservative in many ways, but it is one that reinforces and recommends a specific political ideology. Alfie Cohn is the author of the new book, The Myth of the Spoiled Child, Challenging the Conventional Wisdom About Children and Parenting. It's out now. Alfie Cohn, welcome back to Counterspin.
Thank you.
Now, I used to keep a file of these Every Kid Gets a Trophy These Days newspaper columns, and I was always surprised that there wasn't much of a political pattern to it. The right-wingers and the liberals both had the same complaints.
Exactly.
And it seems that this is part of what inspires the book, that a set of very